This weekend, only at Macy's, it's our lowest prices of spring. How low? Diamond rings, pendants, and earrings, only $399, originally $1,500. Ninja blenders, now $89.99. And $395 men's designer suits, only $99.99. So if you're wondering why you should shop Macy's lowest prices sale, well, the name pretty much says it all. It's our lowest prices for one weekend only. Starts tomorrow at Macy's. Savings off already reduced prices. Exclusions apply.
Like you could tell me we can cure all cancers, but the result of it is your thoughts being easily read by this computer or something like that. I'd be like, no, screw that. Cancer's going to kill people. I don't care. Like, I am that much about adverse to things in the mind.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back to The Dragon Reviewed. We're on episode 6 of season 3 now. And as always, I'm Cam, Christine and Kyle here as well. And before we get into our whole setup and kind of set you up for what we're going to do, Kyle, why don't you tell our viewers about the other content they can find on the Genreverse YouTube channel?
Well, there's lots of it. A lot of reactions and reviews, podcasts covering all sorts of things in geek, pop culture, and entertainment. As you can see, though, it's a lot of anime these days. But hey, later on this month, Cam, myself, and hopefully our third cohort of sorts, Shockey, will be doing Andor season 2 reviews. Right, yeah. And of course Cam also does Watch More Football on Genreverse Sports, so if you're into soccer, check that out, and lrmonline.com for all the written entertainment news you could imagine or you could possibly want, covering more than just the geeky pop culture stuff, but also like the hoity-toity Oscar bait, Emmy bait things, page, screen, gaming, everything in entertainment, lrmonline.com. Cam, we should embarrass Christine. Yep. It's her birthday. Everyone in the comments, it's Christine's birthday today. I'm going to do my best to get this video up.
We can't sing you the song because then we'll get absolutely copyrighted.
Didn't they undo that or something happened?
I think they did.
And it did change relatively recently in the last few years.
You still never hear it on TV.
It's rare, but it's been changed.
You know, like sometimes they'll make up like their own tune, right, to sing
it's
happy
either,
birthday.
It's either gotten cheaper or some sort of case was one. Something changed a few years ago, but I like the Teen Titans Go episode where they keep wanting to sing the song and Robin keeps interfering like, no, you can't sing it. It's copyright and it'll cost too much money.
It would. Yeah. But yeah, happy birthday, Christine.
Well, thank you.
So I think we should probably start with an apology this week for kind of me spoiling something for you guys unintentionally last week, because I was telling you about the, you know, that girl was going to get it, basically, and what happened.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
I don't remember.
You didn't spoil it. You posted as a, do you think that can kind of happen?
No.
I didn't know if she was a book character or an original character. And I even told you, like, I didn't buy your theory at first.
I didn't buy your... If she appears one more time, and there's another
scene. Sure enough,
in
this first, I looked right at Christine. I was like, okay, she's gone.
Yeah. I wasn't expecting it that way, but yeah, she's gone.
We should probably explain this as spoilers for episode 6 and what's came before, but no book spoilers. I've read the books, Christine and Kel have not, so they are show only up to the point that, you know, you've all seen it as well. So that's kind of our deal here. And really it's about Kel and Christine's opinions on what they think of this journey through the Wheel of Time without having that reference. So I think last week we started with Kyle. Do you have any thoughts this week, Christine? Just general vibes on episode 6?
I am so mad at Rand right now. Just so frustrating. No, it was so good. I was worried that we were going to lose Alana. And I'm liking where that part of the story is going. The dancing was so weird.
Dancing's weird in general.
Yeah, but like the song and dance number in
The Pillars of Tanshiko.
Tanshiko, yeah. I was about to say the Tortuga that we keep talking about. Couldn't remember the name. But it was shocking. The spider lady. the thing that she could do. I didn't see that coming. That was intense. But yeah, it was good. But yeah, there's like a few frustrating parts.
Okay.
I hated it. No, it was a really good episode. Like Christine said, some really uncomfortable moments, uncomfortable things going on. Even as we described or as we talked about in the dreamwalking stuff last week, mind control and mind reading and playing with memories is like one of those ultimate things. Like you could tell me we can cure all cancers, but the result of it is your thoughts being easily read by this computer or something like that. I'd be like, no, screw that. Cancer's going to kill people. I don't care. Like, I am that much adverse to things in the mind.
So your own head is your own head. Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's always. And also, mostly, you know, some people be like, oh, well, if you don't have bad thoughts, you shouldn't worry. But the thing is the human brain fires off memories and images from mm-hmm. things that it's seen in movies, read in a book, heard from someone else's story. So even if you're hearing something from someone's mind, it doesn't necessarily mean that that's their thought, their feeling.
Especially in stuff like dreams where you can dream things you would never yourself think about or contemplate, and they just come into your head. You're absolutely right. It's a massive... there's a massive invasion of privacy, but it's also that there's what I liked about it, because I really liked that scene, but it is a uncomfortable watch, all that, mm-hmm. but it's supposed to be right. It's supposed to be, you're mm-hmm. supposed to feel weirded out by it all. And the worst line that I thought was almost when she says, you know, and you're going to let me do anything I want to, you know, right. And I just felt like such sexual predator energy at that point.
Purple man vibes. I've already mentioned that a few times. It was really good. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, I just said icky.
It was cool seeing Tom again. When Matt got up and followed singing, I was thinking it, and then before we saw him, I said, Christine, I wonder if it's that guy from long ago, season one.
And then I was like, who? And then seeing him, like, oh, okay, yeah.
The best part about this whole thing, and again, I almost wish Christine and I had done reactions, was the conversation between Rand and Moraine. I literally said the whole conversation before he did.
Right?
Yeah.
In terms of what he was saying,
line for line, like what happened, something, sometimes, so and so. Like, I even got the order of people he was going to ask about in order. It was just so funny. It was still good. It wasn't like it was a super predictable moment or anything. Like, if I were writing it, that's exactly how I would. And I'm the world's greatest unpublished writer, so.
Well, I think it would be predictable, because that's what humans would normally ask, but not in a bad way.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It was a great scene, and I really enjoyed that. I really enjoyed all this stuff with Rand. Even the stuff that is upsetting, like Christine said, it was still good. It was well acted. And, I really enjoyed the way the death of the girl, I forget her name, played out. You know, he's responsible for it. No, I'm going to play God. I can do this. And then he couldn't. Like, all of that was done super well. This was a good episode.
Yeah, and I'm glad that it failed, because it's traumatizing enough to go through a near-death experience for a child, but they gave up the ghost, and then you're going to bring them back? Like, I don't know if she could handle something like that. And then also, like, what are you making? Because so many things in TV shows and movies where it's like, they're not going to come back right.
Yeah, I almost wondered if she'd come back as like a some sort of version of a gray man of sorts. Oh, Christine said zombie, so yeah.
I think the distinction probably between the two is that for the gray man, they start alive, and then she puts them through that process. I think the one of the key elements, but you know, there's no reason that you should know this as a show watcher, but they do tell you earlier on that you can't cure death. That's the one thing that you can't do, because once the soul's like gone from the body, it's somewhere else at that point. You can't just bring it back. Only the pattern can throw souls back in. I mean, and this is a reincarnation type of universe we're in here, of course, with the dragon's soul coming back in. And obviously we saw from the past in episode 4 that there's no actual blood relation between Rand and the dragon, because his ancestors were around at the same time as the dragon. It's a different blood relation, but then the same souls come into him. So, you know, you can't cure death, but it is actually a scene that happened in the books, and amazingly though, at a completely different place. So there was no way for me to predict that was necessarily what was going to happen. So at a much earlier stage in the books, before they go to Rhuidean or anything like that, there's a moment somewhere that I won't mention where a similar situation happens, that someone dies. I don't even think it's a young girl. It's just but I don't think it's as young
like
a girl as
that. Yeah, like an 11-year-old or whatever.
He kind of, he's using some artifacts, let's just say, to amplify his power, and he's trying to kind of do the impossible, and even then he can't do it. So it's, I think there's a realization to Rand that, you know, as much as he can do a lot of things, that there are certain things that he can't do, you know, and that is one of them.
I did miss a point to mention my joke about doing orb Moraine, because like the first time you see her with the orb last episode, she's all like, you know, into the power and harnessing, channeling, doing something with it, and
it's her precious.
She keeps messing with it. So every time I see her with it, I'm like, oh, sweet orb.
Precious.
Mm-hmm.
That's going into a completely different fantasy genre. Imagine that was the twist, that the show became about this Sarkonnen that everybody's after. It just became super much like Tolkien. But no, that's not what it's for. So we don't need to worry about that. So let's talk about sort of grades and why. You know. So Kyle, why don't you start us off on this one?
Other than awkward dancing, which I'm just not a guy for dancing. I find it weird on all accounts. This is extra, and groups is weirder. Like, the bigger the group, the more synchronized I get, like, aggravated. I don't know. I don't know how to explain it.
They all had the same move.
And it's not like, that might be it. It might be something similar, like those people that don't like repeating patterns.
You would have hated the olden days when people
actually
did.
Oh, I hated it. I would. I will say it's the punk rock in me. Like, that level of conformity and synchronicity, is that the right word?
Yeah.
Is infuriating. Damn the man. Fight the system. Anyways, this is a solid A episode for me. Like, this is up there as one of the best episodes of this season, and probably maybe up there in, like, that top, like, 8 to 10 episodes of the series, maybe even top 5. Like, I really enjoyed this episode. I thought it was really well done. I didn't find myself with any of my, like, normal editing gripes. I'm sure there's something in there, but it flowed pretty well. They need another song other than the Hills of Tijuana, the Hills of Tortuga. It really is Tortuga with the sailing and important stuff, but
even of a kind of piratey type accent,
exactly.
Or at least on a kind of Cockney piratey type accent,
and the garb.
It was a bit Mary Poppins bear, the chimney sweeper at some point.
Other than that, no real complaints. Really good episode. I dug it.
Yeah, I'd probably give it maybe an A or an A minus. I had the same problem, of course, with the dancing. That was so weird.
Why are they touching their boobs so much?
I don't know, but it was so weird. They kept doing it, and it felt...
Boobs are great.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. But... you didn't work it out. The Hills of Tanshiko.
I know, but they kept...
That's what it is.
I get that, but it was just... It was, kind of weird to... grope yourself like that in front of everyone, and everyone's just getting so into it. There was a point where it's like, are they singing it again? And it's just
you should go on a night out in Newcastle or something like that, Christine.
Is it just like the fight song constantly?
Oh, okay.
Is that all you guys sing there? Just do you guys call it a fight song? Is that what it's called? The soccer songs that you guys sing for your teams?
Oh, I don't think so.
I thought that's what you were. I thought that's what you were referencing. Sorry.
I was more just thinking as somewhere where I've been for a night out, okay. And the girls like to. They're quite extravagant, more so even than where I come from. That's all I'll say.
Okay.
Because that's what I thought you would were asking
that
about
they would
too.
Sing
and that
the
makes
same
sense.
Sing.
Yeah. Being that I'm a fan of Newcastle, and you know that because I do a show on it. Yeah. That's my bad people.
Yeah.
I'm kind of with you on like that A. I kind of think it was a little bit better. I gave an A last week, I think, and maybe if I had to go back and compare the two.
This weekend only at Macy's, it's our lowest prices of spring. How low? Diamond rings, pendants, and earrings, only $399, originally $1,500. Ninja blenders, now $89.99. And $395 men's designer suits, only $99.99. So if you're wondering why you should shop Macy's lowest prices sale, well, the name pretty much says it all. It's our lowest prices for one weekend only. Starts tomorrow at Macy's. Savings off already reduced prices. Exclusions apply.
Yeah, I would say this one was slightly ahead, so I'd have maybe dropped that down to an A minus because I just think there was a lot more sort of standout little moments. I had a couple of small gripes that were book related, but I can't really get into them. There was a conversation between some people at one point where I thought, this didn't happen in the books, and you know, what does this mean for the future? You know, is this a setup for something maybe down the line? And because of that, obviously I can't really talk to you guys about it. Small gripe, but certainly didn't like diminish the episode for me in any way. It didn't change anything about the episode. As a show watcher only, you're not going to even spot what that is or anything. I really enjoyed it as well.
Thoroughly. I liked Christine mentioned the relationship between... was it Maximum, Maximus, Maxwell, Max?
Maxim and Alana.
Maxim and Alana, yeah.
It's cool to see them find out what does connect them. Mm-hmm. It's cool to see them kind of reconnecting with each other without the guy because, you know, it's been looking for a minute kind of like, well, they had nothing but the three of them. But it's like, no. There is something between you two as well. You just needed time to process, figure it out. Or, you know, a dramatic experience to say, oh, shit, we really do care. I liked that.
They're going to need her as her healing skills and maybe the two girls going forward when we look at what they've been setting up for what's coming next. Obviously, with all those trollocs.
Training montage. Yep.
I need a montage. it was funny. I mentioned with the white cloaks when old Whistler boy, Patton Fane, showed up. And they're all covered in blood. And I'm like... the White Cloaks must not know each other all that well because they're just accepting these people showing up all bloody and be like, yeah, we're your guys' relief. Yeah. Because I thought they were a much smaller group, so I figured they knew most of at least leadership and stuff like that would know each other.
No, they're kind of continent wide. There's like, and you know, there's people in all different parts, so they could run into some White Cloaks in Tanchico, maybe, or they could run into some in Kieran.
And they might not know each other, you know, other than they belong to the same group.
They're also riding about the place doing stuff all the time, as these people do, you know.
It was
in some ways they were made to be worse in the books than even they have been. I know they're played almost like bad guys in the in the show, but I think it was even more so sometimes
they're played like religious zealots that are anti-religion. It's like when anti-religion or anti-cult becomes its own religion or cult, and they're played like that.
I get that. That's a pretty good account of it. But in their heads, they think they're on the good side. Maybe not Patton Fane, you know, when he shows up. That may be a slightly different situation. But I think the other guys think they're
and
on
then,
the right
oh,
side.
I don't know if you were going to bring it up, but the whole surprising. And I don't remember if we had known this already. I don't think we did that. Ishmael saved Leandrin.
Yeah.
As a kid. It's funny rooting for her, like when she starts killing her tormentor, her captor, her rapist, and stuff like that. You're like, yeah, go do it, go outside and kill more, and then in a few years, die yourself, bitch.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's about people making choices, isn't it? You know, yeah. So she's someone that's been in a very desperate position, and then this person offers to genuinely help you, but you know there's going to be something in return for that. You know, ultimately she's still got to go and live this life at the, you know, and you can understand her man hate her being a red as well, kind of thing, given her background as well. I think they've really built her backstory up wonderfully compared to it. There just wasn't there in the books, you know. So she's one of the characters, I think, along with Lanfear as well, and Ishmael, to be honest, as well, that I think are better in the show than they were in the books so far, anyway.
And I'll say this, I'll preempt everyone that says, but you got to understand where they come from. And yes, it does add context to how they are, but doing terrible things because you had terrible things done to you is not right, and you don't justify exactly. There are some dictators in our very real history that had really shitty upbringings, went through some bad stuff, was even abused. Doesn't make what they did later on understandable or good or fine in any way whatsoever.
Just the behavioral science,
but it adds just the catalyst.
Exactly, and that's been done really, really well.
But ultimately, you know, and that's every character, and I think we see. You know, we see a little bit that with Rand as well. You know, like, I mean, it's Rand that drops that building, yeah. Right? That's not the bad guy attacking him. It's when Rand fights back, the building drops. That's what killed the girl, you know what I mean? So, you know, he's coming to that realization that you can use the power, but actually, if you don't use it responsibly,
collateral
look at the
damage.
Destruction that's going to happen with it. Yeah, absolutely. You know, that's a difficult thing to kind of live with, how to control that much power. Easy for the bad guys because they don't care. You know, they've got to that point where they actually don't care about the collateral damage. So, you know, it always makes things more difficult for the good guys. I think when you do that kind of scenario, and Wheel of Time does that pretty well.
And Leandrin's flock is not as tight as she thought it was.
True.
No.
Bad guys,
I mean, I think that's one of the things that they play that well is that all the Forsaken are working against each other, and they will have people within, even though that little cabal of Black Adja working, you know, thinking, no, you're working for me now. No, you're working for me. And, you know, everybody's all double agents. Yeah. And are they still looking after Ishi? And is Ishi dead? Or, you know, is he somewhere out there kind of pulling the strings in another way? We don't know that yet, genuinely. So, we were talking about, like, characters or these baddies need kind of, like, they don't necessarily need that kind of background and development. I agree. And one example I would give to that is Mageddon. Because actually, I don't think we need to know
that hammer
why
guy
Mageddon
that just came in.
And no, Mageddon's the evil spidery.
Okay.
Oh,
spidery
yeah,
woman, right? So I don't think you need to know why she's like the way she is. You just need to know she's nutso. She's like a proper sicko.
Yeah,
I
just assumed she was nuts.
Yeah.
I mean, look
she's
at the
a
hair.
Genuinely just bad person. You know, like you look at her ripping people's clothes and spitting in their food and things like that.
Yeah,
that just
I was
like,
wondering, what is that all about? I didn't know if she's like putting in like magic spit to track people or poisoning people. It's just her being vile.
Yeah.
Manky, horrible person.
Yeah,
that, you know,
being
vile. You know, but it just so happens that she can channel and she's got abilities and she's intelligent and all that sort of stuff, but she's just a vile, vile person.
Awful.
You know?
Yeah, that was weird.
Yeah. Yeah, very much so. Do you think that Nynaeve would be able to is going to be able to resist Mageddon the next time they come against each other? We obviously all saw the scene where she kind of almost resists giving her the bracelet, but after that she seems to be almost a lot more compliant again. What's your opinions on that? Where do you think that one's going to go? Is she going to be able to break out, or are they going to be trapped under that until something else happens?
I I think it might be a possibility, and maybe that's where she can get back to weaving, you know, maybe...
In terms of our block at the moment and stuff like that.
Yeah, so maybe that's like the push, you know, and maybe that gets her there, so...
I think they're definitely teasing her being resistant, you know, showing that she did fight back in a way, at least part of her. I have no idea how this particular mind control works. Is it one of those where you're in your mind in the back screaming, no, no, please don't stop, and you're trying to stop yourself from doing the things that you're doing? Is it one of those where you're completely gone out of control and you know, the mind wipe that she tries to weave works and you don't remember anything whatsoever? Because those all kind of, like, when you read books, you sometimes get that type of information.
People don't remember, like, what they've done, because we've seen people under... If you remember, Raven has been compulsing people. We saw that earlier on in the season, and everybody thinks he's been with Margaze for 10 years, but he's only been there 3 months. So he's been doing that to people, but then he leaves them.
Right.
He goes away, far away. They don't suddenly all start thinking, who is that guy? You know,
I don't know if it's... I don't know if Spider-Lady is the same... is similar in what she's doing. So, but it's obvious that there's resistance there. She's the weak point. If anything's going to break through, it will be her. So when and how, I don't know.
Mm. Fair enough. Any questions or any kind of theories you guys have got that you want to bring up as just a last thing for today?
Theory. I don't think I have any.
No, I'm just wondering, I'm excited to see how the Leandrin situation unfolds, because like you said, everyone's playing someone against someone else, and Lanfear is invested in what Leandrin can do, and Leandrin's invested in what her flock can do, and whether or not Leandrin can actually become a Forsaken or a Chosen, as they like to call themselves, because it just reminds me of whenever a vampire promises someone, yeah, I'll turn you into a vampire, just eventually, just do this one more thing for me. Or, you know, the dirty cop that says, just do one more job for me and I'll wipe your record clean in that crime movie you love so much. Not you, not a real one, that's just me being general. Yeah, I think it's probably one of those situations. You're just a tool, Leandrin. You're just a tool. Unfortunately, all your life you have been someone else's tool. It sucks, but that's kind of what I get. The story going is how it's going, and maybe that means at the end she realizes that and she turns against all the bad, turns against all the evil, and redeems herself in some way. Or she dies knowing she was a tool, and it's a really sad life of, oh, I was just used from beginning to end. One of those two.
Last little thing for me, do you think Tom's here to stick around now? Or was that a fleeting visit and back away again?
Maybe he will leave. Well, I don't know. I think he'll leave and come back. I think, and then maybe that
before.
He'll stay. Yeah.
He'll maybe go away, and then at some point you'll see him, and if they do future seasons, you'd see him show back up again or something.
I think
like
he's one of those types. He seems maybe almost like a transitionary character to help transition from one mission or one area to another, whether that's legitimately traveling like we saw in season one, or here where we go from looking for information to the mission. It's I don't know, but I don't think he's like a stick around for extended period character. Did we lose Cam? We did. We
lost. Oh no!
Giving my opinion on any of these things. On any of these things that I'm asking you, obviously.
We'd lost you for a moment.
I think that about does us. Did we go? Sorry, I was just saying that. I will obviously not be offering my own opinions in these questions for for the reasons that of why we're here. But that about covers us this week. One thing I do want to just give a quick shout out to is the you posting this on Reddit, and some of the guys on there have been coming on and watching it. I'm just saying, if you've got any kind of questions or comments, or if there's anything you want me to ask, like as book fans, if you want me to ask Kel and Christine, let us know in like the thread for it. We're on there anyway, you know, and you know, or on the YouTube comments, if there's anything that you want me to ask Kel and Christine about the future and just getting their opinions of where they think some of the story beats are going to go, please let me know and we'll be happy to do so. Any final words from you guys?
Babe?
Nope.
Whoops, did I hit that? No, okay. Sorry. Okay. We're good. Okay. You guys should check out more stuff, including Cam's written reviews here on LRMonline.com for The Wheel of Time. I'm sure you're going to do some Andor reviews written. We cover everything in geek, pop culture, entertainment, everything in entertainment in general. And if you're looking for a good place for rumors and leaks that are filtered, Cam's got a pretty good BS detector on that, and he usually only publishes ones that seem likely or at least are generally interesting to talk about, and he'll be clear that it's, you know, one or the other, likely or just fun to talk about. Genreverse YouTube channel, lots of entertainment content, reactions, reviews, and podcasts. Do check out Watch More Football over on Genreverse Sports if you are into soccer. Yeah, that's it, Cam. That's all I got.
Hey, well, thanks for watching, everyone, and we will definitely be back to see you next week. Two more episodes to go.
Woo!
Bye-bye.
Bye.
This weekend, only at Macy's, it's our lowest prices of spring. How low? Diamond rings, pendants, and earrings, only $399, originally $1,500. Ninja blenders, now $89.99. And $395 men's designer suits, only $99.99. So if you're wondering why you should shop Macy's lowest prices sale, well, the name pretty much says it all. It's our lowest prices for one weekend only. Starts tomorrow at Macy's. Savings off already reduced prices. Exclusions apply.